Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Troubleshooting WebSphere Process Server Integration with an Oracle Database. Today's presenter is Stefan Foles. Stefan has worked for more than 4 years in software support for WebSphere Process Server and Business Process Choreographer. During his tenure, he has seen nearly all kinds of problems occurring in real-life projects. Over the years, he has gained extensive skills in the areas of security and databases. Before joining IBM, Stefan was a system administrator for Linux systems. Stefan holds a PhD in nuclear physics from the Technical University of Darmstadt and has issued several publications on this topic. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Stefan.
Thank you, Joseph, and hello, everybody. My name is Stefan Foles, and I will talk today about problems associated with WebSphere Process Server and an Oracle database. Our agenda for today we will see on page 2. We will start with a short introduction about hardware and some hints on install of a WebSphere Process Server in the context of an Oracle database. Then we will have a look at the general configuration of an Oracle database, and I will present you some Oracle tools to analyze problems. This might be helpful, even if you are not a DBA, to know the tools which are viable if you open, for example, a PMR, so you know what we are talking about when we request, for example, an AWR report. And the last section will deal with troubleshooting examples, which we could see in a number of PMRs and which might be useful in a scenario you might encounter. We will conclude with a short summary. On page 3, we will see a very simple picture, but I like this picture very much because it demonstrates that WebSphere Process Server will store its data in two places. Actually, we have the databases on the left side with WPSDB and BBEDB and some other databases. And on the right side, we will see that there are also transaction logs which are stored on the file system of the WebSphere Process Server. So in the context of doing backups and restores, you should be aware that these must be in a consistent state, because if only one is backup, the other will be not taken at the same time, and you might lose process information because transactions which are handled at this point in time are partly stored in the transaction logs for performance reasons, and if only one part is backup, the other data might be lost. Therefore, be aware that we have two places where the data is stored. On the next slide, we will deal with some hardware considerations. What can be frequently seen is that we have some limitations on the hardware resources, and these are the reasons for performance issues. Hardware components which are affected in this context, especially the disk I/O, memory, CPU usage, and network bandwidth. But I would state that mostly we see bottlenecks in the disk I/O area. And for this reason, it's actually important to monitor the system on a permanent basis to see trends and also to see bottlenecks before they really become critical to the system. And on the next slide, we will see some small comments concerning hard disk and also the monitoring. On this slide, we will see different rate levels used for hard disks, and we will compare the read performance and the write performance for different rate levels. We will take a rate level 5 as a basis and compare with rate level 1 and rate level 10. For read performance, we do not see any significant difference, but this actually will scale with the spindles used in the disks. And also for red level 10, we see no significant difference. For write performance, this will have some different numbers. We will see a significant improvement when we use a rate level 1, and we can see a dramatic improvement if we use rate level 10. These considerations have been taken for the magnetic disks. In the last years, we also see that there are improvements, for example, by solid-state disks, which have been introduced and which can bring some large performance benefit, for example, in the database area for the transaction logs or video logs for an audio database. On the next slide, we will give some example for hardware monitoring. This is just an example to give you some ideas what tools you could use for monitoring your hardware resources and to see if there's any bottleneck seen if you have a performance problem. This is not the ultimate tool. It is some tools we have used in a number of cases and we think are useful. If you have some other tool which performs the same functionality, this is fine as well. For AAX and Linux, we normally use the NMON tool. For the Laravel HP UX, we have vm.iostat, and for Windows, for example, the Perfmon tool. What is important in this context is that these tools are run over a larger time frame and also that the problematic behavior is seen during the collection. Else, this data could only be used as a reference to see a baseline when there's no load on the system. But actually, what we are interested in is to see a problem to analyze and to solve it. And for this case, it's important that the problem occurs when the data is collected. As a reference, there is a command given for the NMON tool and how to run it for 1 hour with a number of refreshes here given with 120. And with this kind of data, you could give a rough estimate what is happening on the system during this 1 hour. Further details are described in the given link. On page 7, I will provide you some links for the installation and configuration. I will not go into details concerning the installation part. I will just give you the links because I think these documents are rather extensive and provide a lot of information. This is for the version 6.2 and 7, and there's an old version for 6.1, which is for a standalone server, which might be beneficial if you're looking for something for testing or in this context. So page 8 will show some additional references also in the installation configuration section. This is about the XA recovery. It will go into details about the XA configuration for an Oracle database and also on the driver part and to determine which drivers are tested and have a good result given for the test. These are two main points to check when you use an Oracle database. First, if the Oracle database is enabled for XA, which is actually not the default, and also to check for compatible driver versions so that you don't run into any issues. And we come now to the next section. We will now have a look at the configuration of an Oracle database. And actually, Oracle database is a rather complex database. I will show some components here, and this is a very simplified picture of an Oracle database, just to give you some impression what different processes and parts an Oracle database has, and what might be of interest in the context for WebSphere Process Server. This picture actually shows an instance for an Oracle database, and an instance of an Oracle database actually consists about the system global area. This is one of the main parts. And in addition, there are some background processes which also belong to the instance, but I did not show this in this picture. So this is a rather simplified picture, and we are not showing all components for the database. The interesting part you will see in the system global area, that is a shared pool, and as part of the shared pool, the library cache, because this is actually the area where we could see the SQL statement, the asterisk from table, for example, and this is actually the area where we store SQL statements. Therefore, the shared pool is an essential component to have a good performance for the Oracle database, and in this context, when you see performance problems, the shared pool is actually something you want to check on, and in the later slides, I will also show you some example how you could check for the optimization of the shared pool size. What you also could see on this slide is, for example, at the bottom, the redo log buffer. So the redo log is actually the log which will write database operations first to the log before they are written to the database itself. So if the redo log has been written to the database, actually a commit has been succeeded. And in this context, if you have some bottleneck in the redo log writing, you will also see this as a general performance problem on your system. I will not go into more details on this picture because actually it is much more complicated and not of so much interest at the moment from a WPS perspective. On page 10, we will see the statements made so far again in written form. An Oracle instance consists of the system global area and a set of background processes. We will have the program global areas for the sessions of the clients. And as mentioned, the shared pool is a critical memory component, especially for the SQL execution. And the library cache also is part of the shared pool and stores the SQL statements. On slide 11, there is pre-built procedure shown, which will allow you to check on the shared pool size. This is actually the command, and you could see here an example for a very small sample database where you could see in the increase of the benefit, and at some point in time on the left you will see that the increase of the shared pool size will bring no additional benefit, and this, at this point you could decide what is the best shared pool size you could use. This actually depends on a little tuning and testing, and if it is configured correctly, this should be a good house number, and you could check on frequently basis if some additional load on the system might require an increase of the shared pool size. We will now turn our focus on some tools for analyzing the database behavior, and on page 12, we will see one very important tool. I think this is actually the best you could start with, is the AWR report. It stands for Automatic Workload Repository. It is enabled by an Oracle database, at least for the Enterprise Edition, and it will automatically collect system information and statistics of the database operations, and this information could be used to determine if there's any problem on the database or how you could improve the system. AWR report could be also executed by some SQL script, or you could trigger it through the Enterprise Manager. As mentioned, it's also automatically triggered, and I will show you a screenshot on the next slide. This is actually a small part of the AWR report, just for your reference, you will see the Oracle database name. You will see when on which snapshots, because actually the AWR report is based on snapshots, the AWR report is based. So you could see the snapshot times. You could see also some database configuration parameters like the shared pool size, the buffer cache, and a lot of other parameters like redo size, etc. And you will also see some very fundamental and well-known parameters like the buffer pool hit ratio. This is shown on the right side. For this database, it's a very simple sample database which has not much data inside, but you could see that the buffer pool hit ratio is rather good in this context. And what you also could see is at the bottom of the right side, top for his timed events. And you could see, for example, when you have problems in the area of, for example, the log writers or so, you will see that for the wait times, you will see a tremendous increase for the log writer. And by this way, you could identify any bottlenecks on your system. For reference, I will show on the next slide, slide 14, some areas where you could see wait events. One is the DB file scattered read. This can be caused when you see a large number of table scans, and when you see this in the context of wait time you lose, you might check if, for example, caching of small tables or tuning of SQL statements can help. The second point actually is DB file sequential reads. This can be caused during join operations or non-selective indexes, and this also could be tuned. The last point is a further example, is a free buffer, and this could be caused if you have a small buffer cache or a large number of reads and corresponding caching. And it's also possible that your database writer is too slow to bring the information which was changed to the disk. The next tool I want to show you is the ADDM report on page 15. ADDM stands for Automatic Database Diagnostic Monitor. It analyzes actually queries taken as part of the snapshots, and from this information it will make suggestions to improve the performance on the system. It can be triggered via some script or also via the Enterprise Manager, and I will show you some output for the script-based version on page 16. As you could see here, we will see at the top the analysis period. This is the time from where the snapshots have been taken, and also the snapshot range, which is the time taken by the snapshots, as this database has not much traffic. This is a rather large number of snapshots which are required to get some results. And you also could see the database version and host name of the corresponding database. And at the bottom, you will find one example, what could be improved. And this is actually a recommendation, and you need to check if this recommendation makes sense in some situations. For example, an increase of memory might bring only a small benefit. And if this might be an increase for 2 gigabytes or so, it might be considered if it's necessary or not, and how much the benefit of this increase actually would be. Therefore, the ADDM report is a help to give you some ideas what could be changed on the database for increasing the performance and by this for having happy end users. On the next slide, I will show you some statistics views statistics are actually a very important part for the Oracle database, because this is actually the basis for the optimizer to decide the optimum access path. If the statistics are outdated or wrong, then the optimizer will select non-optimal access paths, which could result in long response times, and by this lead to contention on the system. There are two views for tables and indices. The first one is actually for the DBA, and the last, all tab statistics and all index statistics can be executed by the user which is logged in. And as an example, you will see below the output of such a command, and I marked a very important column of this output. You will see the last analyzed column with the date, and this is actually the date when the last time this table or index was analyzed. And if this is very old and this is a frequently changed table, then it might be necessary to update the statistics to have a better access path. One additional tool for checking on any problems on the system is shown on page 18. This is a feature introduced by Oracle, the so-called V$Views or V$Table interface. These are some predefined views which will give you information, for example, for the V$Sysstat about the general database performance statistics, about session information, and statistics for each session. And on the next slide, we will have a look at the V$SQL view. This is actually a view which will give you information on the executed SQL statements, which are actually stored in the library cache. So this is actually information which will be overwritten after some time. Therefore, this view is a view which needs to be executed when a performance problem is right seen. By this, you could see all statements which are in the cache, and if any hint for some queries which are problematic and are causing a lot of time, or, for example, if you don't use binary variables, if there are a large number of similar SQL statements which are using up the library cache, this is also another option. On the next slide, I just want to give a small hint. This is something important for the standard edition of the Oracle database. This is a Stats-Tag package which has some same or some similar functionality as the AWR report. This is a feature which is available and could be used for a standard edition Oracle database to gain the same information as in an AWR report, give you hints where you have or where you observe problems in the database. On the next slide, I want to show you some options for tracing on an Oracle database. What we need to consider in this context is that WPS or any application server actually connects with a single user to the database. This introduces the problem that you cannot specify, I want to trace a specific session, but you are actually requiring to do a tracing on an instance level. The corresponding commands are given here, how you could enable the trace and disable the trace. This trace will collect for you the SQL performance information, and you could afterwards format these trace outputs with the tkprof utility, and you will then have a more human-readable output, which is shown on the next slide. You could see here SQL statement for the BPC database and a corresponding pass time, execution time, and fetch time. And in this context, this is rather useful because you could identify, for example, if you see a performance problem on your WPS server and you're not quite sure where the time is spent, then you could check with an Oracle trace the execution times on the Oracle database and could see in which area time is spent or if some problematic query which leads to the slow performance on the system. A trace actually will collect the times during execution for the real queries sent by the WebSphere process server. There are different tools which will provide similar information just by calculation or by defining queries on the command line and executing them, but I will show this later. On the next slide, we will see some additional output, which is also given during the trace collection, and this is actually the access path, and you could see here, for example, the view, sort operation, nested loop operations, union all operations, and table accesses, and also the time, for example, waited for messages from the client. In this case, this could be the WebSphere process server, which was sending messages, and it could happen that you are actually waiting on the response from the WebSphere process server to continue the database operation, which might be caused, for example, by an application calling some external web service in a synchronous way, which can slow down the response and actually should be avoided. So not all the logs are held on the database and then lead to log contentions. On the next slide, I will show you a short hint on an alternative tool to the TKProf tool. This is actually called Trace Analyzer. It's a tool provided by Oracle, but which requires more installation work on the database, and it has some functionality as a TKProf tool, but there are also other tools available which might gain some further insights from the traces which have been collected. On slide 25, we will see some additional tools which might be helpful. For example, you know already that you have a specific SQL statement which is taking a very long time on the database side. And the first is the explain plan, which will show you the actual plan decided by the optimizer. This is actually not executed. It is just based on the optimizer calculation. And if you have wrong statistics, this could be also some access plan which will take longer than expected. The second command is the autotrace command. This will help you to track any execution of a query, and you could turn this on to see how long an SQL statement takes when you execute it manually on the database. In this context, I want to mention that we do not support any manual operations on the database or modifications on the database. It's more good stated. You could execute, for example, a select statement. This is no problem, but you should not change the database by SQL statements because this will lead to an inconsistent database, which is hardly to recover and is for this reason not supported. We will now come to the next section. This is a troubleshooting part on page 26. And I have listed here some general considerations you will be confronted if you open a PMR, because these are some areas where we frequently see root causes because some changes have been performed on the system, and this will help to analyze what is the problem on the system. And the first point is, when does a problem occur? This will help, for example, if you have a specific time when you see the problem occurring, which could be caused by some job which is triggered at a specific time. And it's also important to know if it's a permanent problem or intermittent. So if it's permanent, this is good. You could predict when it will happen again. If it's intermittent, that is more challenging because you need to prepare to collect information when the problem occurs, and you never know when it will happen. The most frequently seen problem is there was a change on the system, and therefore it's important to be aware on any changes on the system, because changes always could have an impact which is not predicted in advance. But with good planning and documentation, it should be possible to know each change on the system, and this will help to narrow down any issues caused by a change on the system. What frequently also happens is that the number of end users increases over time, and at a specific point, this might then lead to a performance problem which was not seen before. And for a smaller number, just a little smaller, it could happen that everything worked fine, but the last users bring the system then to a performance problem. And this is also some point which needs to be considered. Also done frequently is the deployment of a new application, and this application can cause, for example, deadlocks on the system or any other misbehavior. Therefore, it's important to know if a new application has been deployed or if any other configuration changes have happened. What is also very helpful is to monitor the system, as mentioned earlier, to see any increase for CPU, disk I/O, memory, or network traffic, because this will allow you to plan in the future and already predict that you will run out of this space, for example, of CPU usage will be high, and it's not optimum, for example, to run the CPU at 100%, because this will cause delays and then will show bad performance to the end users. And what is also very important is to be aware about any systems which are involved in the scenario, because it could happen that the end system, for example, a mainframe or a database, which has some connection problem, for example, caused by network equipment, firewalls, etc., could have then a slow response time, and this will have an impact on the WebSphere process server as well. And the performance problem seen then on WebSphere process server is actually caused by some end system which is not responding in time. This is just some ideas to check when you see a problem, and which might help you already to solve some of the issues which are easy to solve. Not you're free to open a PMR on the problem. On the next slide, I will show you some basic tracing on the WebSphere process server side. This is for general database issues and for deadlocks. These trace settings are an example which most will help in most cases. It could happen that additional information will be required at a later point. For example, if the traces show that there's a problem with JDBC drivers, etc., then corresponding traces need to be extended. It's also possible if you have a production system and you see that the full trace is a problem for the system, that you might start, for example, in the context of BPC with the COM-EBM BPE trace. It might happen that this is not sufficient, but it will give a first overview on the problem, and it at least will also collect some information on the SQL statements which are sent to the database. And what is always required, or what is always good to have in the context of database issues, is the database information, and one specific one for the Oracle database server state is the AWR report, because this will give a rather good overview over the system health and any problematic queries or configuration parameters. Another thing is the alert log, which is not mentioned here. An example for some troubleshooting is shown on the next slide. This is a log writer in the disk space. I mentioned this already earlier. The log writer could be more frequently seen as bottleneck in the system. This is actually done to write a log which will have all SQL operations stored on disk before the commit returns to the user. And in the context of a slow disk, this leads to performance problems because the commit can only return when the information is written to the disk already. Else, if you would have a power failure at this point in time, the data will be lost, and therefore it's not possible to return the commit earlier. The actual data will be then written at a later point in time, what this log needs to be written. And in this context, in the last years, there has been some scenarios discussed for solid-state disks, which could have significant performance improvement, which is also shown, for example, on some of the Oracle web pages. And corresponding bottlenecks could be seen, for example, in the AWR report. Therefore, this is a very useful report. Another option would be to check the disk I/O usage statistics. And if you see that the disk is nearly all time at 90%, so this is a clear sign that you have a problem with your disk or the corresponding number of operations for the disk. Slide 29 will show you some hints for the failed event manager. In the past, there have been some problem scenes for the failed event manager, and what could help in such a performance problem is to check the general database tuning and also the database content if there are a large number of complete process instances in the system, because if the size of the database increases, this will lead to longer times for executing queries because all data sets need to be considered, and this will slow down the response time. And there's also one iFix in this context published, and this is given here if you should run into a problem and should not be aware of this iFix yet. Page 30 will show some more frequently seen topics. This is deadlocks and log timeouts. A deadlock is actually a situation where we have two applications which are waiting for the logs. The other application is holding. The log timeout is a different scenario where we have a transaction holding a log and the second requesting the log. And in this scenario, the second transaction will be rolled back if the log timeout value is exceeded. And for OLTP, online transaction processing databases, the general recommendation is in the area of around 30 to 60 seconds for the log timeout. This is actually something which should be kept in mind if you configuring this parameter. What could be stated also is, and this is shown on the next slide, there are some critical parameters which have an impact on deadlocks and also log timeout behavior. First one is the transaction boundaries. Then we have the commit before and commit after behavior, which is used in the application design. And the third one is synchronous over asynchronous calls, which can have an impact on the logging situation on the database and could also lead to log contention. For example, if in a parallel process, a synchronous call is executed, this could lead to logs on the BPC database, which will then result in deadlock scenarios. What could be stated in general, most cases where we see deadlocks, these are caused by application design. So this is normally a good hint to check on the application. If you see deadlocks for log timeouts, this more frequently goes into the area of the database metronomes or configuration settings. But this is just a rule of thumb, and it could differ for your specific case when you see a problem in this area. For the log timeout problems on the slide 32, there is some additional information given. First one is the share pool size, which could have a significant impact for the log timeout. And we have seen earlier on the slides how to check for the shared pool size and how to check if it could be or should be increased. In the context of VPC, we also have some guidance on this because this is more frequently seen. If we have parallel navigation of single process instances, and the solution to this actually is first to reduce the number of parallel threads working on business processes. This is not always an option. And the second solution then is to tune the BPC database and WebC process server, and more details are described in the given link. On slide 33, we will see some issues which have been reported more frequently, and therefore I wanted to show it to you today. If you have upgraded, for example, from a 6.02 version to 6.2, you might observe some query performance problem, especially in the context of the work item view. There is one IFIX available, which has some prereqs, and this IFIX introduces a new daemon for the retrieve user T table. This is actually a table which will store some user information which is cached in the BPC database. And the IFIX will now have a daemon which cleans up unused and no longer needed information in this table. This table is actually included in the work item view. Therefore, if we have a large number of entries in this table, this could have a performance impact. Estimate to check how much entries are affected on this is shown on the next slide. These are two SQL statements to check how many entries are in the database in the first time, and the second SQL will show how many could be deleted. And in this context, deleted, I want to stress that this only should be done by the new daemon. It's not possible to delete these entries manually from the database because this is unsupported and will lead to an inconsistent database state. Therefore, you must be careful to use the official way, and this is by installing the IFIX and running the daemon to clean up the database and have a more performing system. On page 35, there is one additional IFIX listed, which has been lastly seen more frequently, therefore it's listed here. This is in the context of while loops. If you have an application which uses a large number of while loop iterations, it could happen that you see a problem during the deletion of such a process instance because all associated inline human tasks will be preserved until the process instance is deleted. And if this is the case, this could have a high impact on the redo logs because at this point in time, all this data needs to be deleted from the database. This is a large number of transactions, and this could put stress on the redo logs. Therefore, this IFIX introduces a new option to already delete the inline human tasks after a loop iteration, as it is done for the activity instances, and this could bring a performance benefit, especially when you delete the process instance. after it is completed. One other problem, which is shown on the next slide, is excessive table space usage. It could happen in the context of an Oracle table spaces that when there is a large number of inserts and deletes, that the marked as used table space is rather large, and it seems that you have filled up your complete table space. This is normal for an Oracle database, or it could happen in the context of an Oracle database, and there is one package you could check with if it is really completely used. We had one case, for example, there were a large number, I think over 5 gigabytes, marked as used, and the table which was associated to this table space only had 30 rows inside, and it turned out that when using the package, you could see that there really was a large number of space which could be freed. And Oracle provides for this the shrink command, which could help to reduce the space which is being used. On the next slide, I want to give you some hint which could be useful in your daily life. Sometimes the database is growing over time. This is normally the case for all production systems. And in this context, it could happen that the optimizer behavior will change when the data grows, and then the optimizer decided there might be a more good access plan. Therefore, it might be useful if you collect the access plan before, and later you have then the option to compare the access passes and see if this has changed when you see, for example, a performance problem. Next point is that you could also see trends for the execution. And the last point is when you have system updates, it could happen that a new patch will have a different optimizer behavior. And this could lead to a different access path, which will have some better, worse performance. And when you have access plan for comparison, you could see what is the reason and try to fix it or get a patch from Oracle for this after applying a patch earlier. On the next slide, we will deal with finished process instances, and you have the option in the WebSphere integration developer to that the option automatically delete the process after completion. There you have the option yes, any form of completion, on successful completion, and no. And in the context of this, if you have finished process instances in the database, this will slow down the system because you have more data to check when you do some queries on the database. So in this context, it's possible to set this parameter. And if you don't set this parameter, there are some other scripts which you could use to remove any finished process instances in the system to increase the performance of your system. We will see on the next slide a query how you could check if there are finished process instances in the system and how large the number is compared to the running instances. And this is script is provided by Richard Metzger, and you could execute the script, and then you will see, for example, you have very large numbers of finished process instances, and if you don't need them, you could delete them by the provided script coming with VPC. This will then clean up the database and also increase the performance. Another option, which is not listed today, is an archiving feature introduced in WebSphere Process Server 6.2.0.3 and also in version 7. This will allow to extract such instances to a separate database and will allow some basic operation with this if you, for example, need some additional data which is still in this process instances, it should be removed from the runtime database. On the next slide, we will come to the summary. We saw some hints on hardware and installation, some important Oracle settings. We saw some Oracle tools for troubleshooting and some troubleshooting examples. I want to thank you very much for your attention. And on the next slide, I will give you some references which might be useful. The first two, unfortunately, they are not yet published. We are still in the process of writing these, but three others are already available and might be useful for your daily work. Thank you very much, and back to Josef.
Thank you, Stefan, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
We have one question from Bala Chan. Your line is open. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah. In a production environment, if for any reason my process server database crashes, do I have to rebuild the entire process server environment in order to create my process server database? Or can I, is there a skeleton or gold email that I can create, kind of reuse and import data?
This is a more difficult question. Actually, this depends on the state of the crash and what information you will still need from the database. There are different ways to deal with it. First, you might have a backup which will be consistent between the transaction logs and the database, and this might be in a consistent state at an earlier stage. What you have at this point is that you will lose some of the data which has been processed after the backup operation. When you have total crash of the database, then actually you probably will also not get to this information. If you still have some of the database information, it might be possible to recover some of the information stored in the database. But this is actually a scenario where you should then, I think, open a PMR so we could have a closer look at what information is still in the system available and how it could be recovered. But I think a backup strategy is always a good idea to have in place so you could recover at least to some consistent state in the past.
I have a follow-up question on that. In the development environments where we don't have backups, if my process server database crashes, is it okay to recreate a new database with all the schemas while not installing the process server cell or not recreating the cell topology? Is that possible, or is there a one-to-one mapping between the process server installation to the process server database?
It actually will be connected to the profiles you have created. I think it should be possible, but if you could drop me a short note, I could reconfirm on this.
Okay.
You will find my email on the slide at the first page.
I know when you create, so if I have Beeple applications running on the process server cluster, and if my process server database that to be rebuilt, redeploy the applications?
Yes, the applications definitely need to be redeployed because actually some of the information, for example, for the human tasks or the business processes, are actually stored in the database. So this information definitely needs to be re-entered to the database.
If my messaging engine database crashes, I can just create that particular schemas, or do I have to rebuild the process server cluster?
Let me state it this way. I think there are some steps which might help you to recover from such a situation. I think these are more steps to consider, for example, with the application part. I would suggest that you drop me a note and I will check that I could provide you corresponding steps how to recreate this in the best way.
Then one other question. Failed event manager, we have let's say we have a system with several lot of failed events, and during startup, if I want to delay loading all the failed events, is there an option? Or the idea behind is we want to cut down our server startup time. If failed events are not required during server startup, is there a way I can disable loading all the failed events so it increases my server startup time?
Actually, I think it would be best to reduce the number of failed events in the system, because actually there's a reason for the failed events. And do you have some idea why they are happening?
So we have a system with 50-plus module applications, most majority of them people applications. During server startup, about 6 to 7 minutes to even bring up the server in an operational support scenario, so that's taking a lot of time, especially when you have multi-node clustered environment. On the other hand, there were failed events getting generated on a day-to-day basis, and some of them are system-related defects or business defects. We have a process that purges all the failed events once in a while, but during server recycle, we don't want those events get loaded over and again.
Do you have an option to resubmit this failed event to get rid of these? This probably would be the most safest version, I think,
okay,
to handle it.
Yeah. I'll send you an email on this also. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
That's all I have. Yeah.
Okay.
We have no additional questions on the phone.
And at this time, we will conclude the presentation.